On this 600th episode of The Grid, we're doing, are your clients asking you to cheat? Because we have somebody in here who can talk about this topic. Serge Rambelli is in here, and we're going to be joining him in just a second. Scott's out on a workshop, but we'll hear from him later. And it all starts in about 24 seconds.
Yes.
Grid is brought to you by Platypod, the tripod alternative that is changing the world. Everybody has a Platypod. You should too. Go to platypod.com.
All right. And there we are. Well, look at that jib work. Look at that jib work.
Bonjour.
So, we got Serge here, right?
Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Thank you, Rick, for having me.
Yeah, man. It's always a pleasure to have you in the house. Love your photography. I could say that I've seen your photography grow throughout all the years, because I mean, we really kind of met and started out back in 2010, right?
Yeah, I quit my job in May 2010 for my birthday to become a professional photographer, and a few months after and I worked together on a week with Jay Mazel in Paris.
Yeah, in Paris, yeah.
And that was really fun.
Yeah, it's been great to see. I mean, that's where I think this topic is going to be very interesting for people, because I know you and I have shared, we've had similar evolutions where I know your work in the beginning was all, it went to the surreal, and it would kind of push the limits and you kind of do a lot of that stuff. And then you kind of like went back on that a little bit.
Yeah,
100%. Went to more natural. And then now you're kind of like, what we're going to talk about today is you might be pushed back.
Yeah, I mean,
into what you did.
I used to be a huge fan of Trey Ratcliffe in like 2007, 2008, and when Photomatix came out, I was like full on HDR, you know, bracketing everything, you know, having this really over the top HDR look. But at first, it was kind of cool because people had never seen anything like it. And only professional photographers could do real HDR. Not everybody can do HDR with, like, there's so many apps.
So,
you know,
so
any Instagram, you know, filter will give you that HDR look. So it's not exclusive to us anymore. And years ago, I felt into something I've been teaching called the natural drama, which the idea of the natural drama is, I want to use Lightroom to push my photo. You know, I always tell that story. The first time I met you, actually, the first time I met Scott, was for Photoshop World 2010.
Yep.
And I walked into the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. I hadn't been in the US like in 25 years. And I saw the Peter Lick Gallery. And I had no idea who he was, but I was very impressed, like anybody who's a photographer.
Peter Lick Gallery. That. Yeah.
And I was like, his photos are like stunning, really stunning. I'm a big fan of the guy. And I spent hours listening to what people were saying when they were like looking at their photos, and his photos are extremely saturated. He does sky placement. He does a lot of like taking the same photo at different times of the day, then mixing the different skies, you know, like he has a very famous lavender field shot that he did that way. But nobody was talking about the retouching. Nobody was talking about it was over retouch. And I realized one thing is that Peter Leakes, that's what he tries to do. He goes at the threshold of human experience, meaning he pushes, but there's a limit he doesn't go above, you know? And it's working really well for him. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So he's been dramatic, but still natural. So I got inspired to do that.
Yeah.
But recently, some events have happened in my life where I've been pushed back to a few years back.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I do think. And that's what we're going to get in today is like really how to like, we're kind of being asked to a little bit cheat how we might think of cheating, but that's not how the world is thinking of it.
Exactly.
That's right? The topic. And I think that as a photographer, we need to realize that the world is not thinking it's cheating.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and there are certain circumstances, but
let's talk about them. We're not even going to even get into the AI stuff and all that. This is not a conversation about that. But before we get to that, we have to talk about, we got tons of prizes to give away on the show. So we love to give away prizes here. So what do we have this week? So we've got the Platypod grip. So we're giving away one of these Platypod grips. These are awesome. For the price point that's at, it is the best, I can say confidently, it is the best iPhone Android holder. Yeah, the adapter on the bottom fits right into an Artica Swiss plate. It's got the multi-motion. It locks onto your phone. It's solid. It's made out of metal. It won't move. For $40, best deal right there. All right, and then we're going to give away a copy of Scott's How Do I Do That in Photoshop book. So we've got that book as well. You can get that over on Amazon right there. And then we're going to give a copy of Scott's Adobe Photoshop for Digital Photographers book away as well. And one of my favorite plugins, OnOne No Noise 2024, a great plugin for removing noise and adding sharpening to your photo. This is just brings life. I was showing last week in our Lightroom conference that we just had how you can use products like this to really just kind of bring life back to. There was photos that Milky Way photos I took 2007, 2010 that just were really, really, really noisy.
Yeah,
and I can bring life right back to them with a plugin like that. So it's not only just for nowadays, but even working on photos from the past. And then we're going to give away a V-Flat from V-Flat World. Now, this is for U.S. shipping only.
I use that all the time.
Yes, and these are great.
Yeah.
They fold up. They can fit right in your back seat. You don't have to have a huge production vehicle to take them around. And somebody's going to win that. But everybody can get 10% off by using that code KELBY10 at checkout. That's KELBY10 at checkout. And then Retouch for Me is giving away their iBundle. So this is a plugin. It's a plugin for Photoshop that uses AI to create automatically the mask and the retouching. It's amazing what it does. We did a segment on it a few months back now, if you want to see it. But this is just focused on retouching the eyes.
Yeah.
Which the eyes are so important to a photo. But that's where this app will do that automatically. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. And everybody can get 20% off that one by using the code KELBY120 at checkout. The only thing is you have to go to this site. You have to go to promo.retouch4.me to get that discount. And then SlickPick. SlickPick's giving away a complimentary one-year classic gallery plan. Retail value on that, $60. And you can win that as well. That's for new customers only. And I think...
I use SlickPick.
Yeah, you use SlickPick.
I love SlickPick.
Yep,
SlickPick is the best website. Like, it's like... I'm using it a lot for the job I'm doing now. That's my website.
There you go, right there.
I'm a big fan. The thing about SlickPick, it's the only company I've seen kind of like Squarespace, but they only do Photographer.
Yeah,
and they have like this really cool option where you can, you know, for example, right now I'm delivering photos to a client, and only when he can have access to low resolution, and when he pays me, I just click a button, boom, he can download the high resolution. I can, you know, limit to how many days they can see the photos. It's really cool too. It's got so many features that I use all the time. It's really cool. I really enjoy SlickPick.
Awesome. Well, very cool. Well, before we dive into it, we're talking about cheating a little bit.
Yeah.
And this weekend, I shot another air show, right? So I went over to the Orlando air show. We are, for anybody that's into air shows, next week, we're going to talk all about Sun and Fun, Scott and I. We're actually going to have some special guests coming in next week to talk about it as well. So if you're into air shows, you're into aviation, you're into any of that style of photography, definitely join us next week. But until next week, let me show you something. So I was over at the Orlando Air Show, and let me just show you some shots here. So this is shots from the show. So this is one of the... You know, the parachute performers coming in, going over the F-22. They had a Cybertruck there that was racing planes. So I'm panning with the plane, you know, moving along with it. Then I've got the layers there of the three planes. They had a KC-135. And you can notice I've got a different angle, right? My background is not blue sky.
And right.
That's one of the reasons why I went when I did. Because I was able to get actually an elevated position.
Yeah, that's cool. That's rare.
This was, if you look at the sky.
What a beautiful plane.
I probably would have, if I came to this show, done a bunch of sky replacements. But being elevated, I was able to fill my background with something interesting, right? And there's another one with it. You know, this is a P-51 racing a Cybertruck. I got some slow shutters with the Coast Guard. That's an extremely, I'm down at 1/10 of a second there, panning with them.
Love the blur, the motion blur.
Yeah, you're getting that motion blur. You're actually seeing, that's the whole thing, is so if you just freeze that.
Yeah.
So I'm panning with it and moving with it.
That's a really good one, this one.
Ooh. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So there, and that one's screaming by, you know, as I'm panning right in front of me. I was using for this shoot, I was using the R6 with the new 200 to 800. RF lens. It's only $1,800.
Really?
Yes, $1,800. So all this stuff
for an 800 millimeter. That's
there's
crazy.
There's the F-22 meeting up with the P-51 off into the distance. So anyways, just wanted to share that's kind of what I was doing. But so I ended up getting a lot of keepers out of this show. My panning was like next level, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's going on? But I had a secret weapon. So here's a buddy, Vince. So Vince got me up onto the air traffic control tower. So shout out to him. He actually watches the show. Big, you know, like we're in aviation. So, you know, he got me in, we got up there. But I've got this device mm-hmm. that I actually feel like I'm cheating anymore, mm-hmm. right? And this is what it is. So if you see over there to the right, it is a hunting chair, mm-hmm. which totally makes sense that a hunting chair would do this. Because, you know, when we talk about, we say we're going out shooting,
yeah,
right? So when you're panning, you know, with a plane, you know, one of the ways, and if you could like come up here to me, like, so you're looking at me and I'm panning. Oh, there we are. Uh-huh. So, you know, you're panning with the plane. So you're moving with the plane. So if I'm standing up and moving, I've got to move mm-hmm. and do that. So this chair swivels very slightly and it doesn't make any noise or anything because it's designed for hunting and it moves in perfect motion. The other way to do it would be to have a gimbal head, right, and do it. But anytime you try that, and it can work, but you're always limited. You're moving on these axes. It's very hard to navigate. I end up just trying to do it handheld, and I get great results. But this thing took it to the next level because, and I feel like I'm cheating, because I can lock into one position, my main dominant shooting position, mm-hmm. right? And then, like this chair that I have here, I just swivel with it, and I can match the speed with just these little movements, and my keeper rate more than doubled on this.
Wow.
Because when you're shooting panning, what's going to happen is you're going to get like one shot sharp, and then little blurry, sharp, little blurry, and it's going to be like that. It was like blurry, sharp, sharp, blurry, sharp, 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 blurry.
Wow.
Like it was like really, it
productive.
Just took
super
it to the,
productive.
It yeah. took it to the next level. Well, to the point where I was like, this feels like cheating. It really does feel like cheating. Like, but at the same time, I want to tell everybody about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why would you want to struggle and fight? And oh, the worst is like those gimbal heads and you're fighting with it, the plane going up and going on these. And even if you, and you're spending all this money. Mm. on this stuff, and this chair is like, I mean, it's not cheap, but $100 and $100 in
for
photography,
a chair, it's cool.
$100 in photography is nothing, and then I can use it for a lot of other things.
Yeah,
and I actually found out about it at Sun and Fun, but we'll go into that all in detail next week. But
that's amazing.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that. It's a really cool thing that it just feels like cheating anymore. And don't you feel like that anymore too with like these sensors, these lenses, like I was just talking about, that's 200-800.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like I've got a 200-800 that weighs less than my 150-600 Tamron, like way less.
Wow.
And that's even better. So I mean, it's an amazing time to be a photographer.
Oh my God. The you know, it's funny because on the other end, I'm kind of going the other way on some stuff. Like I started shooting with a Leica M11, which is not an easy camera because it's all manual, you know, and shooting film and, you know, because I'm trying to refresh myself. I'm trying to learn new stuff all the time. You know, I get bored doing the same thing over and
That's
over.
Great.
That's great. You know, but I mean, like it is a great time to be a photographer. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, think what these things can do.
Oh my gosh. It's great.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we got to take a break, but when we come back, I really want to dive into this topic because it's very interesting where it's going, especially for you.
Okay, cool.
Okay, landscape photographers, wildlife photographers, all you guys, travel photographers. I've had so many of you come up to me and go, you know what, I stink at taking portraits. I'm not any good at them. I've never taken a good portrait. I'm not a portrait guy. Just not me. I'm not a portrait gal. Nope, not me. You know what? You're probably not. until you watch this course. I'm gonna set you up for success. We're gonna stack the deck, and all of a sudden, the clouds are gonna part. You're gonna take your first portrait following everything I say in this class. You're gonna look in the back of your camera and you're gonna go, holy cow, I can do this. You're gonna become a portrait photographer when you do this, because you're gonna fall in love with the whole process, because it's easy and simple. There's steps that people are leaving out, and I'm putting them in. You're gonna get all of them in my brand new course. It's called Taking Your First Portrait and Knocking It Out of the Park, and it's exclusively here at Kelby One. Hi folks, I know a lot of you photographers out there are using On One software, and you probably heard that they came out with their new On One Photo Raw 2024. I just did a class on it, and there's some mind-blowing stuff in there. You have a RAW processor, and it's a good RAW processor, but it's also got all of the On One filters. It's got effects, it's got portrait AI, it's got sky replace, best sky replacement anywhere, by the way. They've got all kinds of these plugins that are, they're all built in there. It's like a whole ecosystem of a million things, and you can just keep building and building and building. It's pretty mind blowing. There's a lot to it, but I'm gonna take you through all of it. We're gonna start from scratch. We're gonna do a live shoot in the studio. We're gonna bring the images in. We're gonna edit them. We're doing landscape shots. We're doing travel shots. We're doing it all, and you're gonna see the whole thing from start to finish. Come check out my brand new class on One's Photo Raw 2024. It's only one place. It's exclusively at KelbyOne.com.
This segment of The Grid is brought to you by Canon.
All right, we're back. So we're talking about this concept of are we being asked to cheat?
You know,
and that's where, because I think that's happening. And I know we both got stories on this, but mm-hmm. I really want to go into your story on this, because it's returned you, I think, more towards your roots.
Like, yeah. Of where 100%. I mean, I started, you know, my background is I originally, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a 3D artist. So I love CGI, computer generated images. I love AI. I've always loved, like, you know, I couldn't be a photographer with Photoshop, at least when I started. So when I started, I was like full on HDR, sky replacement, composite, like whatever.
Surrealistic.
Unrealistic style. But it did grab some attention, I must say, especially because I started really hard in 2005. And in 2005, you didn't have, you know, iPhone didn't exist. You didn't have all these plugins, all these effects, especially from the iPhone that we have today. And then 2010, 2011, I went in this natural drama thing, which is, you know, I realized, like, I have time. Okay, I went to Montmartre in Paris. I got the stairs, but the sky was not great. I'll come back another day, and I'll get the perfect photo, you know? And I was, like, really proud, like, you know, as a cityscape photographer, which is really what I am, a cityscape photographer, is to come back over and over on the same location. Every time it's different, I get a different photo every time and get the perfect shot, you know? But there are cases. Well, two things happened recently. First of all, I did like a whole shoot in New York and Paris again for my galleries, Yellow Corner, 120 galleries around the world.
Right.
And they rejected my photos saying, not spectacular enough. And they showed me some of their best setting photos, and it's like spectacular skies. Like, can't you just add some clouds? I'm like, sure. And I didn't want to do it, but they, you know, it was that, or they were not taking the photos. So I started changing the clouds, and they were like, oh, you know, incredible. Hmm. And, you know, and they, yeah. and they took the shots. I mean, look, you know, these galleries sell art for people who have, like, you know, for their home, for people, a lot of people. I rent a lot of Airbnbs, and because I'm the Paris guy, I see a lot of my work in, like, different Airbnbs, you know, in Paris. You know, they want to sell Paris, and it's cool. You know, it's for decoration, you know?
Right.
And I'm happy to, I've sold.
Yeah, it's not photographers that are buying your work, right?
No.
Yeah.
Maybe some, but I wouldn't, you know, I never buy
a small percentage.
I never buy another photographer's work. However, I always buy another photographer's book. That's just a little side note. I love collecting books from other photographers. I wouldn't put somebody else's photo in my home because that's my work, you know. And sometimes my wife wants to do that. She wants, like, oh, I really like that photo from, you know, whoever. I'm like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. It's my home. It's my photos. You know, I don't know. I'm jealous.
I gotcha.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, unless it would be like some, like, 1920 something, you know, that it's more about. But I love collecting books from other photographers. And anyway, recently I got honored to be the official photographer of the city of Las Vegas. So they, mm-hmm. Las Vegas, after COVID, they wanted, Las Vegas has changed a lot, mostly because of the Sphere. The Sphere completely changed the
way. Oh, yeah, the skyline, yeah.
The skyline of Vegas. And they hadn't done a photo shoot in 5 years. And because I've done 7 coffee table books, they picked me. Actually, the mayor office picked me. Big machine, because you got the mayor office, which is called, they have a special name, which is like the, I forgot what it was. It's anyway, they're really the people running the image of Vegas around the world. And then they have a company called R&R, which is there. There's like 50 people just for the image of the Vegas. I have to deal with a lot of people. And I started taking some photos, and they were like, yeah, we like it, but we saw some amazing skies on your website. So I was like, oh, you mean that? And I started doing some sky placement, and they were like, oh, that's what we want. We want that on every single photo. And I was like, really? Yes, every single photo. So I can show some of the work. That's the top 20.
Well, and I think that's a big distinction right there, is that's what we as photographers, because we're both the same way. We want to get it right in camera. We want to go out and do it. But when you actually start working,
we want to make money too.
We're working for clients, or we're trying to sell our work to other people. They want the surreal. They want the fantastical. And that's what Las Vegas is saying. Like, we want it to be over the top.
Yeah.
And we don't want it to be just like, that was the sky I got.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, these photos are going to be used. So this is some of the work. This one doesn't have a sky replacement. This one has a sky replacement. This one has. And
but even there, you can tell the difference between those ones that you say have and haven't.
Yeah. Yeah, this one doesn't. This one has. Yeah, but, you know, they really like it, you know. And
they do. And that,
you know, look at
that's the client, right?
Like, let me show you the original on this one. You know, if you go to the library, that's the original sky. Yeah. And they were like, no, we want something nicer.
Yeah.
So, you know. Also, a lot of dodge and burn. They wanted me to make the buildings come out a bit more, and, you know, things like this. And but, you know, at the end of the day, I want to get paid, and I want them to be happy. So this is like the welcome Las Vegas shot.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Let me show you the original. Like, they wanted me to. So first I had to HDR it, because it was like, you know, they wanted me to take the Harley Davidson thing out, and you know, I had to do so many things to get that photo right. And you know, but it's again, it's going to be used in brochure. It's going to be used this. So I got to shoot. I had a full license to shoot with drones, full license to shoot with helicopter. So this is a drone shot. This is a drone shot. This is from the Cosmopolitan.
Very cool.
And yeah, so yeah, because of that sphere, we had to redo everything.
Yeah, but like that shot without that sky.
Yeah.
Because you didn't get that sky.
I did not get that sky. Although
that would be an amazing sky.
Yeah, although I think the original sky was pretty cool, but we're like, nah, we want better than that. I think like this is one sky I tried. That's the original sky. It's not, it was not that bad.
But see, that's the sky we usually get.
Yeah.
That, I mean, especially in the desert in Vegas.
Yeah.
That's the sky you usually get.
Yeah, and so, you know, and but I've always had an ethical problem with it. And I remember very early on in my career, I met this guy, Jean-Michel Birds. He's a very famous black and white art. He sells like his photos for $20,000. He was in like on Fifth Avenue, like really very powerful photographer. And he made this book with Asulin, which is a big publisher in Japan. He made a book on Tokyo. And he was like, you know, I have to tell you a secret. On Tokyo, I had no choice. It was a black and white book, but I had to do, it was a white, he was there only for 2 weeks shooting the book. He didn't have the money for one day more, one day less. And he was shooting film. And he had to do scary placement on like half of the photo or 20%. I forgot, quite a number, you know?
Yeah.
And because the book didn't look good, you know? And so, and also I have a lot of people I coach, you know, they're like, oh, I'm only going to be in Paris for 4 days, you know? And they have this amazing photo of the Eiffel Tower, but the sky was boring. And like, oh, I want to change the sky and print it in my living room, you know? It's going to be there for 20 years and, you know,
yeah.
It's a shame not to have the best sky possible. And I get it, you know? You know, but I still, you know, personally for my own work, you know, try to not do that. But, you know, it's, they're pushing me back, the galleries and the customer, into this, you know, like even that, like some of the photos of Vegas, I had to go to Luminar and do like a bit of an HDR look with it, you know, because Luminar is like this, like, you know, super contrast things, you know, just to make the colors, like they wanted the over the top, which I was fighting against. But at the end of the day, it was the biggest contract I ever had, and I had to fulfill the contract.
But do you feel like more people want the over the top or they want the natural? Like,
I,
and I'm not talking photographers. I'm talking people.
I think people want over the top. I think people want spectacular. But I spoke to the CEO of the guy that owns 120 galleries. He says people want to buy photos that they think they can't pull off.
That's good advice right there.
So
for a lot of photographers,
you know, that's one thing to like, it has to be like, oh, there's no way in heck I'm going to be able to get that photo. And that's the main thing he's looking at right now. Even Yellow Corner, they're doing AI stuff with Midjourney. He's asked me to give him my five best photo and run them through Midjourney and sell them as a special collection. I'm like, really? I haven't done it yet, but
you're thinking about it.
It's not really what I do.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the other hand, it's a lot of exposure for me. So, you know, I still love the sport. I still, especially in places like New York, Paris, Venice, where I'm going to Rome on Saturday. I'm doing a big workshop there. You know, I've shot Rome many times. I want to get that Coliseum shot at 6 a.m. I'm just hoping the sky is going to be amazing. You know, I don't want to replace it, you know. But I have the luxury of being able to go back to Rome often until I get the shot. If you don't, I totally understand the sky replacement. You know, look, this is art. We're not journalists. We're just trying to create an emotional impact with people. That's all we're trying to do.
And I think that's the line there, right,
yeah.
That we're talking about. Is I think a lot of times as photographers, we kind of try to wear the hat of a photojournalist because it does feel, I will say, that. I mean, I know we both agree, I feel better when I do that, right?
Oh,
I feel 100%. Better when it's like, that was the photo, that was what was in front of me.
100%.
Like all the air show photos that I showed, that like that is 100% there. Mm. There's going to be sky replacements happen to some of those photos.
Yeah.
Definitely. But that's what was there. So that's photojournalism. That's straight what, you know, this, you know, if I'm documenting it for somebody, yes. What's interesting, though, is I've even found in photojournalism that there is a push not to fake things, but to push into the fantastical, to push into the surreal. Like that editors are picking photos that are pushing the limits, ultra sharp, ultra contrasty, more color to it, more, because you know what? Those are the shots that are engaging with people.
Yeah.
Like they've got to engage with a reader. They've got to engage. They've got seconds to engage on scrolling or all that stuff. They need something that is impactful.
Yeah.
And if it's not impactful, if it's just kind of like basic blah, no contrast, no pop to it, like they're like, so, because it's an interesting thing, because I'll do that a lot of times. We're all, you know, you've got to submit different photos. You submit different photos, and a lot of times you don't get to choose what they run with, right? So you're submitting to Vegas. They might pick the photo that you're like, oh, that was the weakest one I thought, but that's the one they go with, right?
Yeah, but for example, I have a coaching program, and on one of the final step of the coaching program is a perfect landscape and cityscape, and it says on the rule you're not allowed to do sky placement.
Yeah.
So I put it there as a rule because I want to force people to get the habit of going back over and over on the same location
No, that's very
and
true.
Getting the shot.
Yeah.
And so But, you know, I'm also the king of scary placement. I live here in Clearwater.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, we live in the place where we get skies fed to us all the time.
Yeah.
Like, we have sky replacement libraries. I know both of us do.
Yeah.
You walk out in our backyards. Now, landscape photography, we don't have a lot of epic landscapes, but we do get the epic skies.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah. In fact, I have a collection called the Florida Skies. Was one of my best-selling thing because people... The only problem is to create a really, you have like, I live really at Clearwater on the beach where I have like, you know, Gulf of Mexico horizon, and I can just, so it's really easy for me. But I realized it was really hard, like living in Paris, there's no way I can make a sky collection. But, you know, some people like, sometimes I do, you know, I do a lot of YouTube videos. And if I do one where it's just like a, you know, from boring to fantastic where I'm going to do crazy stuff, I always give a heads up. Like if you're looking for like a very natural retouching, if you hate sky placement and you hate crazy effects, please stop watching now. You know, because otherwise I get so many haters like, oh, it's fake, it's not photography, it's this, it's that, you know. I've been fighting with that, you know. Because people love it too. Like they, you see, look, I think it's a tool you must have. Like, you have an ND filter. That's gonna distort reality. Yep. You have a 1.4 lens. That's gonna distort reality, you know. You have, you know, all this equipment distort reality. Well, sky replacement distorts reality also. You know, at the end of the day, we are creating art. You know,
and that's maybe where we'll take a break. We'll come back and kind of dissect that more. Because I was even thinking, in my case, like some of those shots I was showing, I had an ND filter on, and to your point, I'm kind of distorting the reality of what's there, but I'm doing it intentionally. Are we doing the same thing with sky replacements?
It's a great question. We'll find out soon.
Find out soon.
Yeehaw! Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys of all ages, you need to see this class. Hey, this is a Kelby One class that's going to talk about using the iPhone with a strobe. I'm going to go to some amazing places in Nelson, Nevada. A jet plane crash, an old classic building. You want to be there to see those locations and see how I've used this strobe to make some amazing images. Wow. And then I'm going to show you how I process the images. Let's get going. Be sure and check out my latest class on KelbyOne.com.
This segment of The Grid is brought to you by Platypod, the world's most compact tripod base.
All right, we're back. We were hoping to get Scott in, but we had him for a second, but
it kind of
cut out. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, he's in Budapest.
He's in Budapest, but we'll see. But back to the topic while we're waiting for Scott.
Yeah.
You know, so we're talking about that again, that blurring those lines, right? And what is blurring the lines? Because to your point, you know, I'll do that a lot. We both put an ND filter on.
Yes.
Using a fisheye lens, using a wide angle lens, anything distorts reality.
100%.
Because then it goes to that again, photography versus photojournalism. Like, you know, where do you see the line?
I'll push it further. I've been shooting a lot of film recently. I shot like maybe, you know, I want to say 100 rolls. So quite a bit.
All right.
Kodak Gold 200, Portra 400, Portra 160, completely ultra colors. Like it's the way the colors are rendered by these films is totally different. And like some is very magenta, some is very blue. You know, it's not reality. It has never been reality. It's,
right.
You know, maybe Velvia 50, Velvia 100 is kind of a... Oh, here's Scott.
Oh, wait. I think we're here, Scott.
I think
maybe.
Mr. Skelby's on.
Hello?
Oh.
Hello, hello?
We see you, Scott. We see you.
We see him, but I don't think he hears us.
Yeah.
I don't think he hears us.
Oh.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I think I climbed up that tower, that crane.
Try to call again.
Okay.
Well, we saw him. He's over there. They're out shooting. Yeah.
They are shooting. It was my good friend Nemo.
And you could see that's what the skies that I expected him to have today, the overcast skies. We were talking about the weather earlier this week. But on the other hand, we could have sky replacements to kind of save those shots.
Exactly.
But yeah, so like, where's the line? Where's the line?
I think the line is, you know, if you're an artist, you're an artist. You're here to create art. You're here to create an emotion on people. You know, then your voice as an artist could be, oh, a lot of retouching or zero retouching. It's your choice. It's the way you communicate as an artist. On the other end, if you're a journalist, it's a whole different ballgame, you know, because you're supposed to communicate the truth, you know, and so that's, you know.
I know, but that's even so hard. Again, I do a lot of photojournalism, but like for example, a telephoto lens. Putting people in certain successions, I can make a shot on the beach look like it's packed.
Right.
And there's like 30 people because I could just line it up,
right,
press them down. Now, again, is that me distorting the truth?
Yeah, there was a very famous photo that was taken on the Champs-Élysées in Paris where somebody literally put on a little fire and with a wide angle lens got really close to it. To give the illusion that the Champs-Élysées was on fire.
Right.
And the headline was, you know, Paris is on fire. And it was completely fake. And you see a behind-the-scene guy, like, snapshot it. It's like...
But it was a real photo.
It was a real photo, but it was tricked, you know.
It was tricked. And that's where I'm saying is, like, there's the blur even there.
Yeah, but then it depends what your intention is. I mean, if you want to, you know... The problem with some press is that they... you know, like, for example... I see that a lot in Paris where I was doing a workshop in Paris and there was some not riots, but like how you say, a demonstration in Paris. Yeah. And I was there and I was looking for them and I couldn't find them. And people were canceling saying, oh my God, Paris on fire. And they were sending me these photos. It looked like World War III was happening in Paris. And I'm like, where?
I'm here now.
I'm here. I'm in Paris. I don't see it, you know? And I did eventually see one thing, but nothing happened that day. So... There's another problem, which is like a more deeper problem, which is the news. Their whole thing is to shock people. I remember Calibra told me 10 years ago, Scott Kelby's wife, she said, I stopped watching the news for 2 weeks and I felt a lot better. And the news is there to shock you so that you can buy the soap between, you know, the breaking news stuff, you know. And they have this idea that the more they will shock you, and so it doesn't always represent reality. You could have an event like, you know, I have a buddy who lives in Dubai. There was a lot of water in Dubai last week, you know. And I saw some photos. You felt like Dubai was calming down, you know.
Oh, yeah. I saw some that were really bad.
But he was like, yeah, it was not that bad where I was. You know, it was like, you know, and look, maybe it was bad. I don't know. But what I do know, at least when it comes to Paris, I used to work in the hotel business. And it used to drive the hotel managers crazy because something would happen. The press would take it out of proportion with false photos, and like a million people would cancel their travels.
And I guess that's what I'm saying here is like there's also the thing of you could distort reality and blur it in camera.
Oh, yeah.
And really make something look like it's not. And that makes sky replacement look almost like nothing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look, so that's where this photojournalism photography thing, even I start getting kind of blurry there, because I'm like, well, yeah, but there's a lot of photojournalism that I see that is doing worse than sky replacement.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of photojournalism I see that sometimes does worse than AI.
Yeah.
Like, as far as not distorting the truth or distorting reality.
Absolutely.
So that's where it's just interesting. I know it's always been a debate, but I like your answer, and that's why I agree with it, of it's really up to you as the artist.
Yeah.
Or you as the, I'm not going to be an artist, I'm going to be a journalist, you know?
Yeah, and my voice as an artist, I've been doing this professionally for 14 years and plus 5 years learning the craft, 5-6 years, so almost 20 years. And my voice has been changing over time. Like, the way I express myself is different, you know, and...
I know, I like putting on both hats. That's what I like. I like sometimes telling the story, but at the same time, I like sometimes capturing those images, the truthful to reality, and then taking them and making something fantastical out of them.
Yeah.
I really love both of that. And so somebody's asking, Sharon's asking, loves your cover on your laptop. How did you do that for the cover on your laptop?
It's called Decal Girl. Decal, like a decal, D-E-C-A-L, girl. $20, and they, you know, it's a very high quality sticker, and you can put it, and I love it.
Yeah. So you just upload your photo to
and,
them.
Yeah, and I added my logo. And, you know, when I'm in the airport, the other day I was going through and the airport, and there was somebody at the TSA. It's like, oh my God, he's Serge Romita here, and he found me. I'm watching your course on Kelby One, and you know, he was at the TSA, and he found, like, when I'm in an airport and I pull that up and I'm working, people come to me, oh, you're a photographer. It's a great way to break communication with people.
Very true. And that's what Jackie's saying. After watching Serge's Art of the Black and White Photography class, I was able to go back to some photos I had taken in Paris a few years ago before, and give them some new life.
Well, thank you, Jackie. Merci beaucoup, Jackie.
Yeah, and that's what it's about, really. That's another thing about living nowadays with the post-processing and how easy it is to give. It's not cheating. It's just giving new life to stuff, especially.
Is Scott here? I think we have Scott here.
Oh yeah. Hello.
Yeah,
hello.
Scott Kilby.
Any luck? Okay.
Hey.
Also on our trip with us is Cole the Wonder Dog.
Ooh. Sherry
shivering. It's a little cold. I got gloves on. I got other stuff you don't want to know about. Anyway, we are in beautiful Budapest, and the Danube is right down there. Right down there, you can see the Danube. We're waiting for the rest of the city lights to come on and the bridges. Yeah, this town is amazingly lit up, beautiful at night. Really, really gorgeous. And so that's what we're doing here. We got a team of photographers over here and Cole the Wonder Dog.
Very cool.
And we're just kind of waiting by the tallest tripod in the world up there.
Wow, look at that thing.
I mean, Nemo's tall, but he's not 8 foot or 10 foot. But he just likes to remind the rest of us that our tripods are inferior. Stupid. But anyway, wish I could be there with you. So glad to see Serge on there. We just looked and saw you guys on the air. So anyway, thanks very much. And thanks to Tomas who let me jump on his Wi-Fi here, since it's, you know, local. But anyway, take care, everybody. Have a great grid. Yeah.
Hi, Serge.
Hey, Sherry.
All right. Yeah, we had some technical difficulties there. He couldn't hear us. We could hear him. But at least we got to, you know, got to tune in.
We got to see Scott in Budapest.
Yeah. So, we do need to take a break. When we come back, kind of wrap up this topic.
Sure.
We got to give away some prizes. So if you want to enter that, do that in the chat. And we'll see you back here in just a couple minutes.
Everyone, I'm pro nature photographer Ian Plant, and I bet when you make wildlife photos, you're really excited. You're working with these beautiful subjects. But I have to ask you this. Do you sometimes get back home and look at your photos and you're just really disappointed? Even though you were photographing a beautiful subject, your resulting photographs just aren't capturing the true essence of your wildlife subject? Well, that happens to me all the time. The reason why it does is because you get too excited about the wildlife subject. What you need to do is take a step back and think about ways you can get creative with light, with composition, with your camera settings, and other techniques to take your wildlife photos to the next level. So check out my class. It will change the way you think about wildlife photography, and it will force you to start getting more creative about your visual design and the creative use of exposure and light. And that will allow you to make compelling artistic wildlife photos that get noticed.
Portrait and wedding photographer based in Valencia, Spain.
I do mainly commercial and editorial photography, and I retouch up to 100 photos a month.
We shoot almost every day for all kinds of clients, such as commercial, beauty, and fashion. And we retouch our work more often like every other day.
I used to spend over 1 hour for one photo.
If we want professional results, we must remove skin blemishes, do micro dodge and burn, highlight eyes, whiten teeth, and even reduce wrinkles in clothes. And this can easily take me up to 2 hours of work for each photo.
So when I saw that there's a plugin for Photoshop that helps you retouch quicker, I was eager to get my hands on it.
I read many feedbacks about it, and I found a lot of positive reviews, which made me to consider buying my first plugin.
One of the challenges we have at the end of a session or wedding is to achieve an edition in our photograph that looks natural. This is where retouch for me has become a game changer.
I love the feature that you can pick how much effect it has on your photo and you can adjust it accordingly to your style.
I saved a lot of time and always end up having amazing results with my work.
I am extremely happy with the quality.
Now, I am more efficient and have more time to spare with my family.
This segment of The Grid is brought to you by B&H Photo, the professional source since 1973.
All right, we're back, and we're wrapping up this topic. I know it's one that is a little bit controversial for some people, but I do think that, you know, I guess the sum up here is it seems like a lot of clients, it seems like a lot of people, a lot of editors are pushing us as photographers to push our art even farther.
I saw Lishul Walsh, she is a good friend of mine. She did a course for you guys here on Fine Art America, and she does a lot of scary placement. And then I have Greg Alexander, who also did a course on Kelby One, who sells on Etsy, and him and his students. So his students have sold like $750,000 of photography last month on Etsy, and like 80% of it is scary placement.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
it's almost like, would you say if you're a landscape and you're a cityscape photographer and you're not doing sky replacements,
you're missing out. Kinda,
you're kind of just handcuffing yourself.
It's a tool. Right? It's just a tool you have. You have different tools. You know, the ND filter is a tool. Sky replacement is a tool. Now, I'll give you one trick about sky replacement. Very important, because big mistake people do. If you do sky replacement, please, by all means, take the sky. So, like, let's say you shot a photo at the golden hour. Take a golden hour sky, shot at around the same time, just much better. Don't take a daylight photo and add a sunset to it, which I see a lot of people do. That's a little technicality.
Oh, absolutely.
But that, sky replacement, like anything, if it's well done, it's well done. It has to be well done. And for that, that's why I have a collection of 400 skies to work with, because you have to have choice, you know, and I have it by golden hour, blue hour, sunset, you know.
And the other thing is, and this is a pet peeve of mine as well, because I see a lot of it, matching focal lengths, right?
So, oh, yeah.
So if you're shooting ultra wide, make sure the sky replacement is ultra wide. If you're shooting more telephoto, because that's the one thing that I see in aviation a lot.
Oh yeah, where they have like
people are using
small clouds,
like they're using like 600 millimeter shots, and they're replacing it with 24 millimeter skies, and I can see them immediately.
Yeah,
like because you're like that's not the right proportions. Now most people can't really notice that, but there is something that
something
you do notice.
Yeah.
You feel it. And I think there are people that do then feel that something's wrong.
Yeah.
So making sure you match, because that's one of the things I'll do at an air show. If there are decent skies, because a lot of times we don't get great epic skies because we're shooting from like noon to 3, noon to 4, afternoon light. But if we have some texture, we have some clouds, or we have a show that really gets a dramatic sky, I'll a lot of times take 600 and 800 and 400 millimeter shots of the sky just so I have that for later use.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we do with sky replacements. We're just taking photos. And maybe could you show somebody how to do one?
Yeah, I'll do right now.
Yeah.
Can you go to my screen? So first of all, I want to show something.
Okay. There we go.
So that's the original photo. And you see how the sun is rising right there?
Yes.
Okay, so that's one of the sky. I took another sky where the sun was rising right there.
Yeah,
and
so
this
kind
guy
of matches.
So it has to match. It's just a better sky. So, and I on this one I've been using Luminar and Photoshop, but Photoshop won like big time. I love Luminar, but on some of these guys I lose Luminar, and the masking was not perfect. And as a result of that, I had to redo them all in Photoshop.
Photoshop sky replacement is pretty good.
Unbelievable.
It's very good.
Unbelievable. So, you know, you just go to a couple of tricks. You go to a file, sky replacement, and then boom. By default, it's going to use Alaska use. So, boom, this one actually matched because totally randomly. You can flip the sky. A lot of people don't know this, but you can flip the sky. So
to, like, put the sun in the right proportions.
So you have to put, one thing a lot of people don't know is you can move the sky up and down and position it exactly how you want. But don't go left or right, because if you do that, you are in trouble.
Well, you'd have to scale up if you did that.
Yeah. One thing that's really annoying with Photoshop that Luminar has, it doesn't handle reflection. And so I have to do more. It's a little harder to show you like this. But check this out. So when I go here, I got on this computer, I got a big collection of skies.
Yeah.
And that I've collected over. And one trick is if you want to, and actually, back in the day when Photoshop came out, you click here on plus, and you can add as much as you want. And for the anecdote, for like the first year, you could only add one sky at a time. And I got interviewed by the team at Photoshop, at Adobe. I did like, not a podcast, but they wanted, because I do a lot of sky replacement, they interviewed me. And I'm the one that said, please make it in a way so I can load 60 sky at once.
Give me a folder.
You know. Give me a folder. Yeah. So, you know, but on this photo, I wouldn't use like something like that, you know, or this one maybe, but like, you know, you have to match the sky or, you know,
so
like,
you want the sun coming in low, low on the horizon, kind of
like
up.
That's kind of weird because like it just doesn't match. Like that's a sky that's way too bright for this photo, you know? So it's really, you know, of course I wouldn't use like a day sky like this or, you know, that's like
that's
really
silly.
Weird.
That's
or
silly.
Not even
or
like
Milky Way.
Yeah. I was going to show that. That was my next. I want to show you, like,
because there's too much ambient light.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't have the Milky Way there. I have a few Milky Ways.
Oh, this works great for Milky Way sky replacements.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know on this computer. So anyway, pretty straightforward. So okay, let me go back to the right sky on this one. I love this guy. This is in a spectacular. Adobe provided that sky. It doesn't work for this photo because the sun is not at the right location. See, the sun is in the middle, and my sun was here, so I wouldn't do that. But
well, the other thing I would say is, if you're gonna do this, better to shoot your own skies than use somebody else's skies.
Yeah, that sky is the most used sky in the world. That's why I have my own collection, because oh my gosh, I can't use. You know, so okay, this one I can use, for example. But this you see,
it's gotta flop.
I gotta flip it because it's not at the right location. So what I do is I flip it, and then I position it. I'm like, oh, too much sun. I can go a bit lower, you know, and boom. And then a little trick, like let's say I wanted to add some reflection in the water. So one thing that you can do is you can take where the sky is, press Command J to duplicate the sky. Then you have to right click and you have to ungroup the sky, the unlink. Sorry, I don't have any unlink layers, because when you do Command J, it's going to be linked. And now I can delete the mask. So delete layer mask. Sorry, I don't. It's a bit a little far. And then I'm going to zoom out. Command T. Right click. Flip vertical. You want to have it flip vertical.
I didn't take it. There you go.
Okay, flip vertical. Then you hold on the shift key to lower the sky. You put, okay, I want to get a bit of that reflection on the water. So then you go into multiply mode. And then you add, you hold on the option key and you, why I can't get to the mask tool. Why is that? Okay, oh, I can actually look at my screen here. Oh yeah, I have to press enter, that's why.
Yeah, okay. You didn't lock it.
And
on.
Then
there you go.
Boom. And so I pressed Alt so that it's invisible, and I can then brush.
You're just gonna brush in the sky.
I'm just gonna brush back in some of the reflection on the water if I wanted to, just a little bit. You know, not a huge deal, but you know, you get the idea. And because I use the multiply,
you could do a better. Yeah.
You know, I'll do a better job. Like, yeah. Okay, I'll lower the just a little bit. But that, yeah, quick sky replacement. You know, Vivo Las Vegas. You know.
Right, and that's how easy it really is nowadays. Yeah. It's not something now. Back in the day. That used to be a process. How long would that take you?
It's
so easy now.
It's really easy.
Yeah, and there's great tools. Photoshop's is great. On1's has a really nice sky swap. You might want to check that one out.
That one's
really nice as well. And Luminar, you know.
Yeah, Luminar's nice. Good, yeah.
There's a bunch of options out there. Very easy to use. But it really takes those landscape and travel shots and elevates them to that next level.
100%. 100%.
It is. It's all about the light and the color.
Yeah.
And that comes a lot of times from the sky.
Yeah. My rule is very simple. Either the customer wants it and then I do it. But if it's for my personal work, the only time I would do it is if let's say I go to Budapest for 3 days with Scott and I don't plan on going back to Budapest and I have this incredible shot of the, you know, that river, the Danube. Yes. And I want to have that shot and like, okay, I'm going to maybe, you know, add a bit of sky there, you know. But if I have the opportunity to go back, then I won't even publish the photo. I'll go back and get it right. That's my game. That's my game.
Yeah,
that's my
so goal, we know? All have our, and that's where we have to decide, yeah. Like you were saying earlier, we have to decide as the artist, where's that line?
Exactly.
Right. But when your client's asking for it, that's a hard line. It's a hard line to hold.
And I was fine on it. I was totally fine. Like, look, at this point, I really wanted Vegas to be happy. This was the first time I was shooting for such a, you know, high authority. You know, when I did my books on New York, I never worked with the city of New York. This is like the official Vegas photo. So, you know.
I know. It is funny because, you know, we've been to Vegas a bunch of times. And the thing is, the skies, why they look epic and awesome, they don't look like Vegas skies.
Yeah. But, it's true.
But again.
Yeah, but if you're in Paris and you see a brochure and you see that sky, you're like, oh, I'm going.
Yeah, exactly.
People in Vegas.
Exactly. You know? So that's what it is.
You know.
So, I hope that was it was helpful for people. So where can they go find out more about you? I know you've got a bunch of Kelby One classes. You just taught at the Lightroom conference, but where can they go find out more about you?
Well, I have a new thing in life, which is I love coaching people on Zoom. Uh-huh. And to get into that, you have to go to photosearch.com.
So photosearch.com.
Can I just show really quick? Photosearch.com, if you want me to coach you on Zoom, and you have to get this thing. It's $25. You're going to get 3 books, plus you're going to get 2 weeks of coaching with me. And then it's $47 a month. And I can coach you. I do a lot of Zoom sessions. I don't take everybody, but if you wanted me to coach you, why not?
There you go.
Thank you for
awesome. So go to photosearch.com to check that out. All right. And then we've got to give away a bunch of prizes.
All right, let's go.
A bunch of prizes. So the Platypod grip is going to Bill TM. And then Linda Stock is winning the How Do You Do That in Photoshop book from Scott. And then Doug York is winning the Photoshop for Digital Photographers book. We got Kurt S. is winning the On1 No Noise plugin. John Nope is winning the V-Flat.
Wow.
Yeah, there
cool.
you go.
That's a good prize.
And Tony Mitchell's winning the Retouch for Me. And then Lisa V. is winning the Slick Pick membership. So if you just email us over at gridprize@kelby1.com, we'll verify information, then send out your prize. Please do that by this Friday if you can. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, sir.
Thank you, Eric.
This is a great topic. I this is something that I really love talking about because I think there is that blurry line and a lot of us don't want to cross it.
Yeah.
But then once we do cross it, we're like, well, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's fun. It really is fun. Like, you know, learn it and don't use it, but you have to have the tool and you will fall in love. I've known people that are like, oh, I hate sky replacement. And they start using it and they're like, oh, this is so fun.
You know? I think if you respect it too, like we were talking about, like I think where people get, when you don't use it right, or you use the stock skies and everybody calls you out on it, like if you do your own skies, you do it the right way, you make sure that you put the light, you did the great thing there. Put the light in the right position, move it around, make sure you're shooting at the right focal lengths. Those are the type of things that will make it to where you'll love sky replacements. Because really what we want to do with our editing is make it seamless, not noticeable. We don't want people to see it.
And Bill is saying, you guys have really changed my perspective on using sky replacement, especially if I'm taking my own sky. That's one thing.
Yes.
The level of proudness gets bigger if it's your own sky.
Yes.
Like make your own collection because you're like, yeah, but it's a Paris sky on the Eiffel Tower. Okay, I shot it the next morning, but it's a Paris sky.
I'll tell you this. Come to Florida in August, September. Maybe November.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And spend 2 weeks here, and you'll have sky replacements for the next 2 years.
When I did my original pack in one night at Clearwater Beach, I would get 10 skies. Completely unique. I would start before the golden hour.
Yeah,
and you just walk through the golden hour, through the sunset, through the blue hour, left, right, and back, and east. And always at 24 millimeter, always nothing in the shot. Boom.
We're going to have Florida sky replacement workshops coming up here.
That's
there
right.
There you go.
Yeah, you should. It's a good idea.
Florida sky replacement workshops coming to the Kelby Studios. All right.
Well, thank you for having me, Eric.
Yes, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate you coming in. And next week, like I was saying, we're going to have some special guests. We're going to be talking all about it was the 50th Sun and Fun Air Show this year. So Scott and I both got out to that. So we're going to talk all about that next week. So if you're into it, come join us next week.
Yeah, and a little shout out to Kelby One. I've been a Kelby One member for, I think, 13 years now. And I have learned so much. My original training was from Kelby One. So Kelby One is like anybody, even people who I coached with, you got to be a Kelby One member.
Yeah, so check it out. You can go over to KelbyOne.com. Check that out. You can start $20 a month. And there you go. And then check out that fast track. That
the
fast
best
track
$20 you will ever spend in your life.
There you go. All right, we'll see you guys next week here on The Grid.